Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/timpool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or call them at 877-646-5347. Again, that's 877-646-5347. Make sure to go to TimCast.com, click Join Us, and become a member to support this podcast and all the work we do, and you'll get access to exclusive uncensored segments from TimCast IRL and way more. Now, let's jump into the first story. Last night, documents related to Jeffrey Epstein were released. Many of you saw the news. Many names were unredacted, and this included people like Bill Clinton. Of course, Donald Trump was also named in the documents, but it would appear that there are some serious, serious allegations against people like Alan Dershowitz. While Bill Clinton is named, it's only lightly incriminating. And as it pertains to Donald Trump, it appears it's actually exculpatory. The witness testimony makes it seem as though Donald Trump had literally nothing to do with anything, and he's only named tangentially because, well, Epstein claimed he was friends with the guy. Trump owns a lot of properties, but in fact, we learned that not only was Trump not present, did not engage in any untoward activity with these young girls, according to the witness, Donald Trump wouldn't even allow one of these young women into his casino because she was underage. Now, I shouldn't say Donald Trump wouldn't, because I don't think he was even there. The casino itself was like, nah, you're underage, you can't come in. But this shows these Epstein people, they were trying to bring an underage, a young girl into a casino. It's very strange. Now, as it pertains to Bill Clinton, what we learned is that not only was he friends with Epstein, but Epstein tells these women that, Clinton likes him young. Now, what does that really mean? I'm not going to play silly, stupid games and say that this, these statements that have come out about Bill Clinton have proven that he was engaged in trafficking. But I got to say this. If evidence emerges that Donald Trump was involved, then so be it. Investigate, file charges. Lock them up. Don't care. Now, I don't trust the machine. And we're at this point where, unfortunately, while we try to be reasonable and fair, if something were to come out, I'm less inclined to believe it's about Trump, that it's true if it's about Trump. That's just the sad reality. And this is social order breakdown. For a while, my friends, I was willing to entertain these accusations. I was willing to give the benefit of the doubt. When Donald Trump got elected, they said that he may have colluded with Russia. And I was like, okay, well, let's see the evidence. Wow, all right. And then I learned they were lying about everything. And therein lies the problem that we face. With Brett Kavanaugh, they claimed that he was engaged in, we'll keep this one family friendly and light. They claimed that Brett Kavanaugh was party to large group events where men would line up outside of rooms to force themselves on women who are trapped inside. It's one of the most shocking and insane stories ever presented. There's no evidence, and it certainly did not happen. Even the initial accusations against him appear to be lies. And so if someone were to come to me right now and say, hey, look, we got a witness who claimed this or that about Trump, I'd just be like, I don't believe you anymore. I don't believe you. Have a nice day. But I got to say, this is what I said yesterday on IRL, though the show was taken down. It is available on all podcast platforms. If a scraggly looking deranged man with black eyes, a bloody nose, crazy hair, missing teeth, wearing ripped up clothes, was like, and he walked up to me and he said that Bill Clinton was engaged in trafficking of young girls, I'd be like, really? Tell me more. My point is, There is a challenge in trying to be reasonable and understanding facts, evidence, but there is a degree of reasonableness in what we are willing to accept initially in terms of probable cause. That is to say, you know, the Krasensteins, Brian, he's got this tweet, he's a liberal guy, and he said, so Bill Clinton likes him young. That's not incriminating. Does it prove anything? Actually, it does. It is incriminating. Yeah. Sorry, Brian. You know, Brian's trying to play this game where it's like Trump wasn't in the documents, too. And we all know that Trump likes young girls, too. Sure. And he's like, because they're creepy old men. Absolutely. The problem? The media lies left and right every single day about Donald Trump. And the media seeks to protect Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. And Bill Clinton's got this scandal we all know about in the White House. And so I will tell you this. I want to be reasonable, but reasonable means making judgments based on what we know about an individual's character. That is to say, if a document were to come out that looked bad for Trump, Trump would get more benefit of the doubt because the media has lied about everything. Not that Donald Trump is more deserving of our trust. I think he is. But on the surface, it's that the media has lied so much about Donald Trump that a reasonable person would conclude that stories that come out smearing Trump have a high probability of being false or exaggerated. And if it's about Bill Clinton, there's a high degree it's probably underplayed. So what I'm trying to say here is when the Epstein documents get released and John Doe 36 is revealed to be Bill Clinton, a guy who likes him young, what does that mean? Jeffrey Epstein was trafficking minors. Okay. That we know he was doing it. He was doing it. Ghislaine Maxwell went to jail. Epstein got arrested and then died. Jean-Luc Brunel, a guy who was accused as well of facilitating, being involved with, and even raping underage girls, died in jail. They say, oh, he killed himself so he wouldn't have to go to trial. Yeah. Or maybe he was killed so he couldn't incriminate anyone else. If you come to me and you say Bill Clinton likes him young, I'm going to be like, investigate this guy. Don't know, don't care, no benefit of the doubt. Jeffrey Epstein, what does that mean when you say you like him young? A guy who was trafficking minors, who Clinton flew on his plane. They were friends. And of course, there are reports that Donald Trump flew on his plane as well. However, in these documents, the witness says Trump wasn't there, never saw Trump, Trump wasn't involved, Trump never slept. In fact, the witness says Trump never slept with any of these girls. And they're like, how do you know? And he's like, wow, he never saw him there. He was never there. To be fair, when it comes to a lot of people who are named in these documents, some have nothing to do. And this is exactly what I said was going to happen, okay? And it's not because I'm psychic or I'm smart. It's because I read the news. And the news broke down. The Epstein documents that were getting released are related to a defamation case. And it includes evidence from other criminal cases. It would include names of individuals who are completely unrelated, some whose names had been redacted. But this means that there's a witness who was asked about, you know, Bob Smith, random name. And they're like, I don't know who that is. And all of a sudden, everyone's like, oh, look, Bob Smith appeared in the documents. Yeah. The witness was asked if they had ever seen him before. And the witness said, no, just because their name appeared in the document doesn't mean they did anything wrong. That being said, I will say this again. When Bill Clinton is friends with Epstein, flies on the plane, there's a portrait of Bill Clinton in a dress in Epstein Island. And Epstein says he likes him young. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and make some assumptions about what is possible here. When they say Donald Trump flew on his plane in the 90s several times and mostly with his family, I say, yeah, a guy with private jet flew people around and no one knew what he was doing in the 90s. In the 2000s, that's when people started to figure out what Epstein was doing. I wonder if Bill Clinton knew. I do not trust Bill Clinton or the Clintons. I think they're bad people. Donald Trump, I certainly don't think is a saint. But Donald Trump also was very, very critical of Epstein. And in some reports was one of the only people to actually try and get Epstein to be, let's just say to assist law enforcement is my understanding. There's also stories about how Jeffrey Epstein and Trump had a falling out, particularly because Epstein was oogling young girls. And Trump's like, get out of here, man. Yo, I don't blame Trump. Some creepy dude comes in and starts, you know, oogling young girls. I'd be like, bro, not only do I have zero respect for somebody who's going to play dirty, you know, do dirty things like that, but I have hatred, disdain, disgust. I'd be like, get the F out of here. So I get it. Well, Bill Clinton responds. That's the big news. But I must stress, it's not eventful. A spokesman for Bill Clinton simply just said, quote, nothing has changed. Clinton is mentioned in the documents alongside other high profile names, including Alan Dershowitz and former President Donald Trump. When asked for comment on the documents, Angel Urena, a spokesman for Clinton, told Newsweek, quote, nothing has changed since he released a statement about Epstein in 2019. Previously saying Clinton knows nothing about the crimes Epstein pleaded guilty to in Florida or the sex trafficking crimes he was charged with in 2019. In 2008, Epstein pleaded guilty to the two state charges of soliciting prostitution and soliciting prostitution from someone under the age of 18. He was sentenced to 18 months in jail, but was not charged federally and served most of his term in a work release program. Clinton took four trips on Epstein's plane in 2002, 2003, according to Urena, in connection with the Clinton Foundation. Yeah, the Clinton Foundation. You see, they try to play this game where they say, oh, the Clinton Foundation is a nonprofit charity work. Yo, y'all might as well be the mob, okay? The Clinton Foundation, I would just say, is a dirty organization. So when you say he was simply flying on it in relation to the Clinton Foundation, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, now I'm going to make assumptions that the likelihood of bribery was really, really high, and blackmail and extortion was also really high. So Clinton flies on the Lolita Express, according to the documents that were released. Some of these young girls who are being trafficked were being trafficked on the plane. That's right. They'd bring people on the plane. The plane would fly. The girl would come out and they would engage in rape of minors on the plane.
Recession and inflation are here. Gas, housing, and everyday goods are up, way up. And you want to be ready for any situation. So what would you do if there's no food on the shelf? Arc Heirloom Seeds are here to help. Did you know 99% of seeds sold today can't reproduce? With heirloom seeds, you only have to plant once. Then you can grow year after year, giving you and your family stability and security because things are getting crazy out there. Our all-in-one seed kit provides everything you need to grow your own food. This premium seed kit has over 65 varieties, 50,000 seeds, and stores for 15 years. You'll also get our exclusive seed guide to make growing a no-brainer. Arc Seed Kits is a family-owned and operated business and the most trusted name in the nation for over 15 years. Our mandate is to get heirloom seeds into every home in America. Go to arcseedkits.com today and get free shipping by entering promo code podcast. That's arkseedkits.com, promo code podcast. Get your seeds, get prepared, get growing. arcseedkits.com.
That was the point of the plane. And so you've got people who can say, I just flew on the plane. I have no idea. I was just getting a ride. And now it is tough. It is tough because you could easily be set up. And then nothing you can do about it. Alan Dershowitz has been accused. And Giuffre, apparently, who had accused him, recanted in 2022. I don't believe it. I mean, but I don't tell you. I just personally, as my opinion, I don't believe it. Dershowitz said he would be exonerated by these documents. Instead, we got very harsh testimony from Giuffre where she talks about how Dershowitz, it wasn't Giuffre, I believe it was Schoberg. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. Schoberg? I don't know. I'm sorry. It was Giuffre. And Dershowitz was accused of, you know, raping children. Apparently, Giuffre said, no. But hold on. Dershowitz, I believe, according to these reports, it was with Epstein's lawyer. How would he not be aware of what was going on? How is it that someone could be so sure, like, these guys did it, and then all of a sudden, years later, be like, no, I was wrong about this one guy? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe she was wrong. And to Dershowitz's credit, I will tell you this. Not that I trust the guy. If you were someone like Epstein, the smartest thing you would do is lie about the identities of the men you were bringing on board to these young girls. That's right. Let's say you want to extort Bill Clinton. You bring him on a plane. Well, I'm sorry. You're not going to be able to tell someone it ain't Bill Clinton. He's too famous. So they're going to know who Bill Clinton is. But let's say you got some lawyer. He's like, you know, moderately well-known, but no one's going to recognize the guy. The smartest thing you could do is lie about his name. So let's say it's not Dershowitz. Let's say it's John Doe. This guy boards the plane and Epstein tells the girl, I want you to meet, you know, Jim Smith. And they're like, oh, nice to meet you. And then after he traffics them to this guy, they later on go say, it was Jim Smith. They then see a photo of Jim Smith and of the name Jim Smith. Like, wait a minute, that's not the guy. It makes a lot of sense that Epstein would use fake names for some of the people who are not high profile, not being extorted, because he wouldn't want the victims to be able to identify them. And the fact that they would give wrong names later on could discredit them. If you're Epstein and you're trafficking minors, you don't want them to go out and say, here's a list of names of the people who did it, and then be able to prove that you were engaging in this activity. In fact, it would be very advantageous for Epstein, who probably did this, when he brought in clientele, to use fake names, but act like the names were real. Then when these young women, these victims, go to law enforcement and they give a list of names, turns out the names were fake. And then the police are like, these guys never flew on the plane. In fact, this guy never even met Epstein. And then they'll go, wait, that wasn't the guy. Fake name. It makes a lot of sense. So it's possible that what happened with Giuffre is that there was a guy who was basically a client of Epstein. And they just said, yeah, that's Alan Dershowitz. And it wasn't. And Giuffre then says, yeah, it was Alan Dershowitz. Dershowitz then says, that wasn't me. And she goes, you're not the guy. And then is forced to apologize, saying that wasn't the guy. That was the wrong name. Possibility. I'm not saying it's absolute. I'm saying understand. There's a lot of nuance. The scary thing to me when it comes to these names, right? So first, let's go through some of these names, and I'll tell you what worries me. Prince Andrew was accused numerous times of raping a minor. Yep. That right. There's a picture of them together. And she said was trafficked to him. Apparently, Sjoberg said the same thing. Yeah. Sjoberg said she and Giuffre had flown with Epstein to New York with Maxwell, and Andrew were said to have met them there. At one point, Maxwell called her upstairs to an upstairs closet where they pulled out a puppet of Andrew that had been made for a television program. It looked like him. And she brought it downstairs and presented it to him, and it was a great joke, blah, blah, blah. They got a picture with it. Virginia and Andrew sat on the couch. They had the puppet in Virginia's lap, and I sat on Andrew's lap, and they put the puppet in the hand of Virginia's breast, and Andrew put his hand on my breast, took a photo. These are very serious allegations. 2014 court filing alleges she was forced to have sex with the prince when she was a minor in three separate locations, and that is, I believe they're referring to Virginia Giuffre when they say they or she. Epstein claimed Jane Doe. I'm sorry. Known only as Jane Doe number three, not Giuffre. Jane Doe number three. You want to make sure we get the facts right here. Bill Clinton. There is a portion of this where they say, I don't know if he was there. I don't know if he was on the island, things like that. But I'm not going to give him the benefit of the doubt. So you get it. Donald Trump, of course, it seems to have been exonerated, in fact, by the documents, because they're saying he wasn't there. He didn't bang any of the girls or anything like that. I shouldn't say bang, rape. Stephen Hawking's name, David Copperfield's name, Michael Jackson's name, Naomi Campbell's name, Leonardo DiCaprio. But here's the thing. Some of these names in this are not incriminating. It's like, did you know this guy? No, I didn't. Did you ever see him? No, I didn't. Bang, his name's in the list. I want to make sure that's clear. Here's what worries me. We have to be very, very careful. In 2022, Virginia Giuffre withdrew an accusation that she made against Jeffrey Epstein's former attorney, Alan Dershowitz, saying she may have made a mistake in identifying him as an abuser. According to one of the documents, Epstein allegedly forced a woman named as Jane Doe number three, who was a minor at the time, to have relations with Dershowitz. It is also, so again, to clarify, right, Giuffre made the accusations. This is what I was trying to say earlier. It gets confusing. I don't know. When I was saying before that Dershowitz is accused of raping a minor, that's Jane Doe number three. Jane Doe number three. Giuffre withdrew accusations she made against Epstein. But I don't know that Jane Doe number three is Giuffre. So just because Giuffre withdrew her accusations doesn't mean Dershowitz is off the hook. However, that being said, what worries me is, yeah, Dershowitz was a lawyer for Epstein. People are allowed to have lawyers. I'm sorry. And, I believe in how the system was set up by the founding fathers. I believe they did a great job. It's not perfect. But even the worst people in the world must have lawyers. They must. That includes Epstein. They must have lawyers. We must abide by the rules. There must be a legal system, lest we be the evil we are seeking to triumph against. It is better that 10 guilty persons escape than one innocent person suffer. In that, however, there are dark questions. Questions that we've asked on Timcast IRL before. It is better that 10 guilty persons escape than one innocent person suffer. Do you believe that? Do you really do? I do. But there's a challenging question that has to be brought up. What if the innocent person who's suffering, the suffering is 30 days in jail over shoplifting, and the guilty person who escapes is a child rapist? Then we begin to ask ourselves deeper questions about the nuance of such a philosophy. And it is seriously challenging. The idea that it is better that 10 guilty persons escape than one innocent person suffer is a very important thing. Blackstone's formulation. Ben Franklin said 100. Because, and it's actually quite simple, a society that tells its population the government will imprison you even if you're innocent gives no incentive to the population to be good people because they fear imprisonment even when they do good and do well. A country that says it is better that the innocent are punished than the guilty escape is telling them you might as well be guilty because you'll get punished either way. But a society that says we will do everything to protect the innocent gives the incentive of every person to be good because the system will protect you if you are innocent. But there are deep challenges there. In that, I don't know that Dershowitz is actually guilty of anything. There are accusations. I don't know that Jane Doe number 3 is Giuffre. He says, the woman who initially accused me subsequently stated she may have misidentified me and withdrew her lawsuit against me. Perhaps then Jane Doe number 3 is Giuffre. I'm not sure. But there is innocence, presumed innocence. And that being said, let me ask you, my friends. 10 child rapists go free, or one man go to prison for a month for shoplifting. He's innocent. You see, it's a bit different, isn't it? At this point, a lot of people will begin to question whether or not they truly agree with the Founding Fathers' view of this. Do you really want 10 child rapists to go free? Or should one person who was falsely accused of shoplifting go to jail for a month? I think most people would say, dude, go to jail for a month. The rapists are going to be in prison for life, and they could target children later on. Now you see where we're at. The philosophy of Blackstone's formulation is not so simple, is it? And I don't have a good answer for this, because my view is kind of like this. If someone came to me and said, Tim, you've done nothing wrong. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to send you to jail for 30 days. And I'd say, what? Why for? And they would say, we have to. Because by doing so, 10 child rapists will be locked up for the rest of their lives. I would gladly spend 30 days in jail. 30 days, ain't nothing. If it meant that 10 child rapists would never see the light of day again, and those the potential victims, future victims, would be free from that harm. And therein lies the deeper, challenging questions. What if they say, you, innocent person, will go to prison for the rest of your life. The rest of your life. Your life is over. But these 10 child rapists, they will also go to prison for the rest of their lives. It's tough, isn't it? It's not so simple. Would you sacrifice your life in that? Now, in this regard, I have a less easy answer. I'd say no to that. I wouldn't. I'll tell you why. When you get to the point where you say the innocent will be punished because we want to punish the guilty, as the Founding Fathers believed, you create a society that disincentivizes the good. And the fear then is, while those 10 people are pure evil and they may victimize another, there's a much simpler answer. The rights and responsibilities of the American population, which includes the right to keep and bear arms and the responsibility to bear arms and protect their family. In this regard, you can argue that it would be noble for someone to sacrifice their life to be be that martyr, because it would put away 10 evil individuals. The risk, however, in this, in all of it, honestly, even the 30 days, is that a system is built that is willing to punish the innocent. And it tells the population, whether you're good or bad, we will lock you up. And then you just end up with bad people. It is not an easy world, my friends. It's easy to stand on these simple statements, such as Blackstone's formulation. I believe that the guilty should be freed if it means the innocent will be, exonerated.
You're cruising down the highway, windows rolled down, tunes blasting from the radio. You're in the zone and living the dream. Suddenly, your car sputters, coughs, and throws a wrench in your whole day. Tow trucks, repair bills, the dream turns into a nightmare. Don't wait until car trouble steals your peace of mind. Visit CarShield now at carshield.com/Carlson. For nearly 20 years, CarShield has helped millions of drivers avoid the stress of major repairs. They offer plans covering up to 5,000 parts and systems, from your engine and transmission to electronics and more, all for a low monthly rate that fits your budget. CarShield plans also include unlimited miles, 24/7 roadside assistance, and rental options. Get peace of mind now. Visit CarShield online at carshield.com/Carlson. Join millions of customers and contact CarShield now to save 20%. Visit carshield.com/Carlson. That's carshield.com/Carlson. Visit now.
It's not so easy. Never has been. It's not black and white. It's a gradient. And there are moral lines. For this, what I have to say, Alan Dershowitz should be criminally investigated. That's it. I don't know that he's guilty of any wrongdoing. The assumption of innocence, presumption of innocence stands until he is proven otherwise, beyond a reasonable doubt. It is a very difficult world. There are dark people and dark forces in it. And I will say this. The left will try to prey upon your reasonable character, your belief in the Constitution and unalienable rights. But we all have moral lines. If you come to me and you say, like the Krasensteins did, Trump and Clinton are both lewd old men and they both like girls. It doesn't prove anything. Your faux principles mean nothing to me because we must take into consideration the nuance of such a statement. Donald Trump, certainly a lewd and lascivious guy, but no, he doesn't like him young the way Epstein describes him as young. Donald Trump has got a lot of character defects and he loves himself, the ladies, but he surrounds himself with like models and, you know, sure. Women who are younger than him, they falsely accuse Trump these false accusations are insane. And some at the point where I just don't believe you. Screw off. Bill Clinton? Yeah. I ain't giving him the benefit of the doubt. He hasn't earned it. And so when they say this, I say there is a preponderance of evidence. Okay, with Epstein, being friends with Clinton, things Clinton has done. Yeah, I no benefit of the doubt. Because we do not apply the standards to everyone the exact same way because we understand some people are different. If a guy has been convicted of murder before, sorry, but that's going to be weighed against you because we're not morons. We're reasonable people who said, look, you've murdered before. You're now being accused of it again. That's your fault. You're a murderer. And it may be. Second time around, this murderer is like, no, I really am innocent, man. And the only reason he's a suspect is because he's got a track record for being a murderer. Yep. But that's the reality. We have to take into consideration past events and nuance. So I'll leave it at that. These documents are very, very interesting. There's a lot of evidence in them. More people will dig through them. A lot of this is pretty old. But I'm going to give a shout out to Mike Cernovich, who helped make all of this public, was the principal catalyst for it, and also the hard work of the journalist, the Miami Herald, who pursued it as well. I believe Cernovich gets the lion's share of credit for pursuing the Epstein case and getting these documents exposed because it was tremendous, tremendous work. So shout out Mike Cernovich. Does good work. You can, whatever, man. I'll leave it there. Become a member at timcast.com. We got big announcements coming up. We're doing a town hall with Vivek next week, as well as Iowa caucuses with Vivek and many others. Live event. You're welcome to join. So become a member at TimCast.com because ticket sales will be going up today only for members at TimCast.com. Next segment's coming up at 1 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. And with this act, the Biden administration and the Democrats have engaged in a seditious conspiracy against these United States. CNN reports Biden administration sues Texas over state's controversial immigration law. And I mean it. I think it's serious. Every day, we have been seeing around 10,000. These are small towns. 10,000 illegal immigrants crossing the border illegally. The Biden administration has begun to facilitate the human trafficking. Yes, literally. I'm not being cute. Coyotes and human traffickers are bringing people across the border, and the Biden administration is helping facilitate this. There was a Customs and Border Patrol agent who tried turning away a family. He's now under investigation. My friends, should this continue, you will not have a country. In fact, I would say as of right now, with the border being as destroyed and open as it is, it's hard to say whether or not there's a country at all. I'll tell you why. You have, in violation of the Constitution and law, agents within the federal government with no oversight, no accountability, facilitating human trafficking and crimes against this country and states like Texas. Texas outright said it is illegal to cross our borders without proper documentation. Joe Biden says we're going to sue you to stop you from being able to enforce the law as it is codified federally and locally. So what is this? You know, a federal judge already ruled that the Biden administration needs to stop removing the barricades to prevent the illegal immigrants from crossing. But he's allowing it. Right now, we're getting reporting that there is a caravan of 15,000 people called the Exodus from Poverty, or the Poverty Exodus, marching towards the border. And the Biden administration seeks to allow these non-citizens to enter the country. What will this mean? Well, to understand why this will be the end of the United States, there are the philosophical, there is the semantic, and then there is the historical. All things that you could point out and make the argument for why this country will be in trouble. Let's start. We'll go through the news, but let me start with each of these points. Philosophically, if you do not have a border, you do not have a country. A country or a nation, however you want to define either of the terms, requires a jurisdiction for which a group of people set boundaries and contribute to the, to a variety of things, the common defense being one of them. Philosophically, if you don't have a border, you don't have a country. And that also lends itself to the semantic, the definition of the word nation or country, which requires a definition of some identifiable boundaries. If there are no longer identifiable boundaries and they're being destroyed, and the federal government is actively stripping these barriers away, then even by definition, you do not have a country. Historically, what does this mean? I think it's no secret that everyone recognizes how screwed up California is. It's got beautiful weather. It's got nice places, too. The taxes have run amok. There's human feces littering the streets in many of these cities. And it's pretty wild. I mean, California is a great place. The weather's fantastic. A lot of farming being done there. A lot of food being produced. But you take a look at how the government is run and it's chaos. I mean, how long has Skid Row been a thing in Los Angeles? It's the epitome of all the sci-fi dystopian novels. We know that California is a pretty screwed up place. Now, I can respect there are a lot of people that recognize the good that it has. It's got mountains. It's got beaches. You can go snowboarding in California. It's a big state. And there are a lot of great things about it and good people there. It's a lot of people there, 30 plus million. But governance, homelessness, prices, it exemplifies dystopia. Ronald Reagan was a lot of people like to say he was a good president. They love him. They love him so much. I don't. No fault divorce, gun control, amnesty for millions of illegal immigrants. To be fair, no fault divorce was a product of his governorship, not his presidency. But what ends up happening? Ronald Reagan signs into law these amnesty bills. There's a question about how is it that California went from being Republican to being Democrat? A component of where we are today. And it's actually quite simple. Many people point to Proposition 187. It was a proposition that would say non-citizens do not get access to public services. And there were protests and revolt. And it resulted in many of those non-citizens who eventually received amnesty into supporting their non-citizen friends in the most silly and obvious move imaginable. And that's thanks to Ronald Reagan. I'm from the United States. My family, every one of them is from the United States. My grandparents, or I should say one of my grandparents, is an immigrant. And if you go far enough down the line, there is a mix of some immigrants and some non-immigrants. But I think it's fair to say we are a nation of immigrants. They say that all the time. Yeah, but like, I don't really count the people that were in my family who are here
you know, like 300 or 400 years ago. Like, if you were here before the country was a country, then they're not immigrants. Although many people would make that argument. As this, being born here, believing in this country, coming from a family, even those immigrants who came here who assimilated, I value the traditions, the moral frameworks, the worldview that Americans have. Now, for those that come to this country from other places in the world, they hold a different moral framework. Their culture is not a part of ours. And as many of these immigrants come here and they don't assimilate, you end up with multiculturalism and fractured worldviews within the nation. Now, I'm all for immigration, 100%. I've long said every single person in the world, all of them, should come to the United States. That's right. They should all come here. They should all, every single one, legally. What does that mean? It'll take a long time and it's probably not possible. But to all of the legal immigrants and legal asylum seekers, I have tremendous respect for them, and I want to do everything in my power to help them. For I do believe that this great nation does have a responsibility to help those in need who seek it. I really do. But that doesn't mean you come here illegally. It means that, you know, if I'm going to run into a burning building to try and save someone's life, you can't grab onto my leg and force me to drag you out of that building. I'll determine how I save those I can save. What we have here with this mass illegal immigration facilitated by the Biden administration, as well as the trafficking of minors, is the subversion and destruction of the United States as we know it. Tens of thousands of people every single day. In the past 3 years, it is estimated to be between 6 and 7 million non-citizens brought into this country. You need only take a look at what happened in California with Prop 187 to understand how this results in the destruction of a country. Because you need only take a look at what California has become. I know there's good things about it. Nothing's all bad. Well, some things are bad, right? But I mean, like, in terms of the state of California, there are good people there and 10 million Republicans. Not all the Republicans are good, mind you. But I tell you, you need only look at California to figure out where this all goes. With 6 point some odd million non-citizens entering this country from all different countries, they do not bring with them the values of the founding fathers, the Constitution, the recognition of our moral foundations. If these people are granted amnesty, they will bring into this country a worldview that is alien to the United States. And it's not meant to be a dig, that is in the literal semantic definition, something not a part of our founding traditions and moral frameworks. 6 million, it's a tremendous voting block. But I'm not even so much concerned about whether or not they will be granted amnesty. Now, of course, you can take a look at California and see what happens when you have mass illegal immigration, when amnesty is passed in the 80s and what it results in. It's actually quite simple.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Illegal immigrants come to this country. Illegal immigrants will have children. Those children will be American citizens. Proposition 187 is proposed in the 90s, which is, I believe it was like 12 to 14 years after the amnesty of Reagan. And you know what's going to happen? These people, many of them who came here, became citizens, but their family members are still illegal immigrants who broke our laws. They are criminals. And they get free stuff from us, the taxpayer. What happens when we then try to stop the criminals from stealing from the public coffers? Their friends and family members and their communities revolt. And that's what happened. You take a look what's going on in the U.S. right now with this mass illegal immigration and Joe Biden facilitating it. And I'll give you some predictions. One, there's an amendment that was proposed. Thomas Massie is a co-sponsor. Forgive me, I forgot who the drafter was, that argues that congressional seats must only be apportioned based on citizens, not population size. Because right now, they estimate that there are several seats. I think they say like 5 to 7 extra seats in California based on illegal immigrants. Why? They'll go to an area. They'll ask how many people live here. They don't care if you're a citizen or not.
They'll then give you a congressional seat, but why are members of Congress representing non-citizens? Doesn't make sense. They don't pay into the public coffers. Now, the left will argue they do, but not all of them do, and many of them work under the table. They're not citizens. They can earn their citizenship fine, but they came here illegally. They're criminals. I think immigration's great. I think we gain so much from immigration. Really do. And I know there are a lot of people on the right that are like, no, all immigration should be stopped. And blah. No. Immigration's fantastic. It's got to be legal. There's got to be proper planning for economics, placement, assimilation, etc. We want to preserve our constitution and our rights. But here's what I see happening. They're going to bring in 6 million plus people. They're sending them to certain areas. Ask yourself why. Why are these immigrants being brought to certain cities? This will shift the demographics and the voting patterns of the city. More importantly, it will bolster the amount of congressional representatives that these cities have by adding tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people. A city that should get maybe one rep will now have two. Not because there are more citizens who should be represented, but because the Biden administration facilitated human trafficking and brought people into that place. These people will be second-class citizens. They will not be allowed to vote, but their presence will grant another member of Congress who will vote with the power granted by their presence. I believe this is an affront to what this country is supposed to be standing for. The other issue is these people will have children, and those children will have more allegiance to their families, as they should, than to their community, than to the community of the United States. I mean no disrespect to any individual who does this. You absolutely should protect your family at all costs. But what does that mean for the United States? It means that these younger people who are related to illegal immigrants will do everything they can to protect their non-citizen family members and friends, not the country that they're citizens of. I'm not making this up or speculating. It's literally what happened, and you can look at the historical record and actually see it. I want to show you this video. Myra Flores says, the largest migrant caravan of 2023, known as the Poverty Exodus, has recently departed from southern Mexico, comprising approximately 15,000 individuals. Now, it's reported they've broken up into smaller groups. They're chanting, we're not criminals. Yes, you are. No, hold on. They may be not criminals right now, but when you cross the border illegally, you've committed a crime. That makes you a criminal. Facilitating this is wrong. It's evil. And to see now that Biden is suing Texas to allow the facilitation of criminal activity. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, the Department of Justice and federal law enforcement that is in support of these actions by the Biden administration facilitating this, they're criminals. The men and women in uniform that are on the border assisting and facilitating criminals are aiding and abetting crimes against the United States. These people are the banality of evil. The Customs and Border Protection agents who allow people to break our laws, helping them do it. Why? Well, I was told to. That doesn't matter. You're still breaking the law. I mean, come on, I use the bank robbery analogy often. Chief of police tells a couple of cops to go to the bank and take money from the vault. You think they're going to be like, it's not your fault. You were told to do it. They're going to say you robbed the bank. We're in for dangerous times right now. What we are seeing on the southern border is one of the most egregious attacks on the fabric of this nation that I've ever seen in my life. Or have even read about. And I think the issue is the Democrats realize they're losing. With Donald Trump winning in 2016, and with his tremendous support in 2020, despite the shadow campaign that they call it, Donald Trump's winning. Belief in this country is winning. And so Joe Biden and his ilk seem to be doing everything in their power to try and destroy this country. That's happening right now. You know, I will tell you this, as I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I don't care about Joe Biden. And I'll give a shout out to Michael Malice. He said, I'm paraphrasing here, but the demands of politicians are letters to Santa Claus without the police. He's correct. Joe Biden can stand on the tallest mount, the largest rock. He can sit in a throne made of gold and look in the eyes of the American people and say, I will destroy your country and bring in 10,000 non-citizens every single day.
He can say that all he wants. It means nothing. You know what means something? That there are men and women in uniform who smile and say, whatever you say, boss. These men and women who are facilitating the criminal activities on the southern border, the human trafficking and child smuggling the Biden administration is a part of, they look upon you with a smirk and a Kubrick stare, spit in your face and laugh as they burn down your country and you can't do anything about it. There is something you can do, and there are many things you can do, but there's one powerful thing you can do. Get your friends and family registered to vote and win. I talked about this in great deal last night. You know, we were on IRL talking about the Epstein documents and accountability. And there are a lot of people who want to act a fool. They think that going to the southern border or fighting or being violent solves these problems. It certainly does not. The problem is one thing, that men and women are willing to serve evil. You cannot win a fight with force against such an idea. There are two things that must be done. The first is cultural. You must win the war before it happens. Sun Tzu, Art of War. What does that mean? That means a lot of things, but I'll give you a simple explanation as it pertains to the 2024 election. Should what we are facing in this country turn to violence, how do you win a war before it starts? You convince as many people as possible to stand alongside us, cast their ballot for Donald Trump or Vivek Ramaswamy, those who are willing to help purge the corruption and secure our borders. Because then what happens? In the event there is conflict or crisis, it'll be over before it starts. Why? Because nobody will fight. That's the point. Maybe the far left gets violent when Trump wins. But if the overwhelming majority of the people of this country believe in our views and our values and recognize the crisis at our borders, then it'll be short-lived. It'll be protests and riots. There won't be a war, actually. That's how you win a war before it starts. How can you succeed and save this country? I don't know that Donald Trump is a good dude or a hero. I think he's the best president of my lifetime. Why? No new wars. Withdrawing from the Middle East. He did a lot of great things that we're very happy to see. He's also kind of a lewd and lascivious old man, that we know. So I don't know what to tell you other than he is no saint and there will be no Superman to come save you. Sorry. Trump may be the best you got, but the cleanest, safest, and most effective path to victory would be building culture, sharing videos like this, informing your friends and family and neighbors, selling them, convincing them, saying, please help us stand up for what this country believes in. The rule of law. Without a border, without laws, you have no country. So the arguments from Democrats that we must protect, we are a nation of laws and we protect immigrants. Yes, but not illegal criminal immigrants who are breaking the law and ignoring our borders that subverts our nation. Convince your friends and family. Register them to vote. Overwhelm the polls this November. And elect Donald Trump, or if need be, Vivek Ramaswamy. You know, I'll take a Ron DeSantis if that's what we can get, if that's all we can get. Not that I'm super confident, but I don't think Trump is the savior or saint. I don't. I think he's got a lot of problems. But we're not talking about begging for Superman. We're talking about we as individuals doing what we can to push back on the corruption. And it is simple. In the event Donald Trump wins, or at the very least, we overwhelm the polls and they can dispute it all they'd like. Donald Trump becomes president. We avoid the worst of this. Mass deportation to the criminals who illegally entered this country. They go home. And it is pure evil. It is malicious evil what we are seeing from the Biden administration. And the solution is only one thing. Convincing people to stand by your side and winning control of the institutions. Why? There is no circumstance where external action, violence and conflict solves a deep moral and cultural problem. You will not convince a Border Patrol guard to do the right thing by screaming in his face that he's evil and wrong and fighting with him.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, The scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped. Streaming June 4th. Only on Hulu.
You will convince a border guard not to commit evil when he realizes he won't get any food. And this is what people need to understand about civil conflict. It may be that when all is said and done, violence does happen, and we hope that doesn't. But if you really want to convince the evil individuals of the federal law enforcement agencies serving the Biden administration to stop, it's actually really simple. When they show up to your bakery, you say, "We don't serve you here. Sorry, you can leave." If you're in Eagle Pass or in these areas and you think what these people are doing is wrong by facilitating these criminals, do not provide them service. You know, it's funny because we talk about periodically, we talk about post-apocalyptic and things like this. And a point I like to make is the misconceptions people have about solving problems. A lot of people will say, buy your gold. You got to buy gold because if the system collapses, no. Let me tell you, gold is only worth buying in the event the system does not collapse. When the system faces tumultuous times, gold is something great to have. But if the system ceases to exist, your gold is worth nothing. Imagine this scenario. Civilization collapses. It's war and conflict. Let's say there's civil war. People are shooting at each other. And you're walking down the street, and there are two men, one on the left, one on the right. You have with you water. Oh, sweet, sweet, delicious water you need to live. And the man on the left and the man on the right both say, please, please share your water with us. And you say, I can't spare any. It's all that I have. I'd be willing to trade, however, with something I may need. What have you, good sir? The man on the left produces gold coins and says, look, gold. Give me some water and I will give you gold. The man on the right pulls out a chunk of delicious beef and says, share with me your water and I will share with you a meal. I can guarantee you 100%, ain't nobody taking that gold. You can't carry it. It's too heavy. You can't eat it. Sorry, sir. Your shiny rocks are enticing, but I'm hungry. But people don't understand this. They think you're going to be trading silver and gold when this stuff happens. No way. You're going to be trading water. People in cities will be desperate for it. And why do I bring up this analogy? Because people look at what's happening on the border and they think the way to gain control and convince someone is through conflict, crisis, fighting, violence. It's not. They're wrong. The people who are serving Joe Biden do it because their bellies are full. Why in Venezuela does the National Guard shoot students who are protesting? Because the government keeps their bellies full. What would happen if these Border Patrol agents who are facilitating this criminal activity one day realized that by wearing this uniform, they could no longer go shopping anywhere? They weren't welcome at birthday parties. They were spat on by people in disgust and rage. Figuratively, I mean. I mean, if they were literally, yeah, but I don't want to advocate for that either. They'd say, I quit. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be shunned or ostracized. I'm hungry. That's the real issue. We must win the culture war and make sure each and every one of these people know if you facilitate the criminal activities, the sedition, the Biden administration against these United States, we will not forget. And what does that mean? Well, I don't think illegal immigration rises to the level of concentration camps and murder. It simply means, as far as I'm concerned, that if you are a Border Patrol agent, the first thing I ask you is, are you serving the Biden administration's whims and helping facilitate the criminal actions against this country? By wearing that uniform, you are. Sorry, you're not welcome here. It really is interesting. I meet a lot of people. I've met people who are waiters, who are garbage men, who work in law enforcement, and they say they're fans of the show. Well, I hope each and every one of you knows this. If I ever meet you and you're a fan of this show, Timcast IRL or the Tim Pool Daily Show, if I ever meet you
And then you explained to me how you facilitated sedition against this country. But it's just, it's your job. You have no choice. I will look you in the eyes and say, you are the evil we are fighting against. Because without your blind support for sedition, without you, there isn't any. Joe Biden could sit on his throne of lies and facilitate criminal activity in this country, or try to. But if there is no lackey and no henchman to carry out those orders, if every Border Patrol guard said no, it'd be done. That's it. No questions asked. No disputes, no news coverage, no legal cases. Every Border Patrol agent who knows what they're doing is wrong, every pilot, every baggage handler that facilitates this, you are the evil we are fighting against. I met a man in Chicago, told me that he was told that a Swift Airjet with 140 illegal immigrants flew in, and he was told that it was the Blackhawks. And they got all excited, and when they went to pull the bags out, it was three garbage bags. That's what he said. And I'm like, they told you it was the Blackhawks? And he goes, yep. And I said, why? And he's like, man, they didn't want us to know that it was illegal immigrants. And I said, is it because if you knew that they were asking you to serve illegal immigrants entering this country, you would have rejected it? He goes, yep. This guy didn't want to do it. He was tricked into doing it. That's unfortunate. That's not evil. That's unfortunate. I respect that guy. He said, you know, but I wonder, I do. Is that guy going to say no next time when Swift Air comes in? How many of these people are going to be like, look, man, I don't know. I just want my paycheck. So be it. I think of the founding fathers. Everybody says to me, Tim, you don't have kids. You don't know what it's like. I think of the founding fathers who sacrificed their families, their sacred treasure, and their honor to defend and create this great nation. Many of the founding fathers lost their kids. Ben Franklin's son disowned him, became a loyalist, and fled. Wow. But more importantly, I think of the devil. And so I hope this is clear to each and every individual who is facilitating the sedition against this country. You have made the deal with the devil. You are the evil we are fighting against. And there is no excuse. There are no words you can say to me that will make me forgive you. Because let me make sure this is clear. Be it figuratively or literally, you have signed a deal with the devil to protect yourself, your friends, and your family. And they say, but Tim, I have children, and my children must eat, and I will absolutely, absolutely do what I must to give them full bellies. Did you think when the devil offered you the deal, it was going to be over something you didn't need? Did you think that the deal with the devil meant he offered you an infinity pool and a penthouse in New York City? Naive. When the devil comes knocking and offers you the deal, he's going to say, your child's life for eternal servitude. Are you strong enough to say no? How many of you would say, I would sacrifice my soul for my child? That may be honorable that you'd sacrifice so much for your children, but still understand that means you'd be willing to accept the deal with the devil. And again, figuratively or literally. I don't need people to come and make the argument about, like, I don't believe in the devil, so that's not the point I'm making. For those that are people of faith and do understand that demons and devils will try to cut deals with you, it will always be the most difficult choice you've ever had to make. Will you serve evil to protect your family? Because that's what we see every single day. We talk about possession. It really does feel like so many people in this country are possessed. They lie, they cheat, they steal for power. And it may be rather simple. A battle of good and evil is before us. Whether it is truly biblical or it is just the nature of humanity and we are nothing but squishy, wet robots. Darkness came and it said to you, I will give you food for your family if you drop to your knees and engage in evil actions. And so many people said yes. It's fascinating to me. When I mentioned, like, there are people who work these jobs that they know they're doing wrong. They work these jobs where they're engaging in woke cult nonsense and they refuse to speak up. And people say, yeah, but it's hard because I have kids. And I'm like, I get it. You realize, though, that is the point. It will never be easy. You'll be asked to rip your own heart out for the betterment of mankind or to serve evil to the betterment of your personal circles. Not easy and never will be. I don't have any good answers for you, my friends. But when I saw these videos, when I see what's happening on the southern border, we're here. We are here. The Biden administration has been, for several years now, facilitating human trafficking and smuggling children into this country. I can't believe that there are men and women willing to facilitate human trafficking to keep the bellies of their children full. I really can't believe it. I mean, I suppose I get it. So many people would sell their souls to the devil himself to feed their children. Wow. If that's the case, what little hope have we? But I don't know, man. I got to tell you, there is a simple, simple path forward. And it is confidence. And it is your personal fulfillment of your duties to your country, to your neighbors, to the future your children will inherit. And that is to say, there is only one path forward in solving this problem. Now, that one path involves a lot of different things. I'm not saying there's only one action. But that path is, we need people to stand up for what's right. We need people to vote, to register to vote, to seize control of the institutions, to win the culture war, to refuse to service evil. And then a component of that is who we elect at the state level, our reps, our governors, those in Congress, and the president. And if they don't act, we do the same thing. But it is really simple, my friend. There is no Superman who will save you. There is no savior. The reality is, it is the collective conscience of the American people. If right now, every single Border Patrol agent, every one of them, simply said, we're done with this, we're pushing these people back, you'd end up with 6 million people on the southern, on the northern border of Mexico and the Mexican government scrambling. But it's their own fault for allowing these people to enter their country as it is. Why should we bear the brunt? There's only one problem we face. That men and women within the Border Patrol, the National Guard, the FBI are willing to be evil because it benefits them personally. How do we solve for that? We win the culture war. Politics is downstream from culture. Breitbart was right, and you know it.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
We need to vote. We need to make sure that people don't act a fool. We need to be wary of false flags where they'll try and make it seem like those who believe in America are engaging in violence. And if you know anybody who wants to, you tell them to shut their mouths because they are a detriment to our success. We win when everyone sees the world for what it really is and recognizes good must prevail. You're not going to win by fighting physically. It's just not going to happen. There are countries to this day that are still in civil war, and it's been decades, and it'll never stop. While we can, we have to win the culture war. We have to convince people to do good, reject evil, and refuse to service, figuratively or literally, the devil. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 4 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. Yo, the latest Biden track is out, and it's killer. In it, he says, you're the problem. Joe Biden released a new commercial, the first of the new year. In it, he says, you, my friends, are an extremist element that must be stopped. Yo, this guy's insane. But I want to play for you this ad from the Biden administration, Biden and Kamala. And you can understand what he has to say about how he views you, the American people, and those who would vote to preserve its institutions. He calls you an extremist threat. Make no mistake, my friends, the Biden administration and those who would vote for him are effectively brain slug rotted individuals. They're zombies. They're NPCs. They don't really pay attention to what's going on in this country, and it's terrifying. We need to simply inform these people. I truly believe that there are predominantly two kinds of people that are voting Democrat. Now, there's evil people, but mostly it's the ignorant and the fearful. I think most people are just ignorant. And so I don't mean to be disrespectful in calling them brain slug people. No, no, no. Okay, I take that one back. What I mean is they're not paying attention. So they're marching in lockstep, not realizing what's going on. We inform them, we share videos, wake them up to what's happening, and these people will agree. Marianne Williamson came on Timcast IRL, and she had never seen some of these books. She said, oh, banning books is bad. I said, how about this one? And I showed her Gender Queer. She went, oh, not that. You can't have that in schools. I'm like, so you agree with the Republicans? Right. That's what happens when the average person is informed. They actually are good people with good conscience who are aware. Then there are the fearful. They know this, but they're terrified if they speak up, bad things will be done to them. We must make sure they're aware that we are the majority. We are the right side of history. Let me show you this ad from the Biden administration. You can hear what Joe Biden has to say about all of you. Let's roll. It's from MSNBC Post today, because I don't know how else you find the video.
I've made the preservation of American democracy the central issue of my presidency. I believe in free and fair elections and the right to vote fairly and have your vote counted. There's something dangerous happening in America. There's an extremist movement that does not share the basic beliefs in our democracy. All of us are being asked right now, what will we do to maintain our democracy? History's watching. The world is watching. Most important, our children and grandchildren will hold us responsible. The Vice President and I have supported voting rights since day one of this administration. And I ask every American to join me in this cause. America is still a place of possibilities where the power resides with we, the people. That's our soul. We are the United States of America. There is nothing beyond our capacity, and we act together.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
There is an extremist element, an extremism growing in this country. They do not share our views of democracy. He's right. God help me. I will crush your democracy and preserve this constitutional republic. Mark my words. We are not a democracy, nor have we ever been. But over a long period of time, these individuals who believe in replacing, subverting the United States and pushing forward some kind of new multicultural democracy, they have been gaining traction. And they have attempted to convince the average American that the United States is, quote unquote, our democracy. But understand, they are not talking about your country or the United States. They're talking about their country and what they seek to destroy our nation and turn it into. When they say our country, think of it this way. A man breaks into your home and starts spray painting all throughout your living room. He and his buddies see you come in. And you say, hey, get out of my house. He looks to his buddy and says, this man's trying to kick us out of our new home. Get it? They don't think this place is yours. They don't honor or respect the work of your ancestors and the founding fathers. No. They simply seek to take it over. Why? The funny thing is, it's overt colonization. They only lie and pretend they oppose it. When Joe Biden says there's an extremist element, he's referring to the 74,223,975 individuals that voted for Donald Trump in 2020. In fact, Donald Trump's support has only grown since then. If you take into consideration at the lightest assumption that Joe Biden scored 81 million votes through ballot harvesting, meaning I think it was estimated between like 6 and 10 million are ballot harvesting. Actually, it might be more than that. I think it's like 11. These are not people who are advocates for Joe Biden. They're people who signed a document, weren't really paying attention. Whereas those who voted for Donald Trump, 99.9% voted for Donald Trump. That is to say, in the lightest interpretation, Joe Biden says that you, the American voter, half this country, are extremists who must be stopped. And that's terrifying, isn't it? But I believe that if we team up, work together, advocate, spread awareness, convince, build culture, and challenge the machine, we win. And we are winning. And I think this needs to be recognized by everybody. You know, they say multicultural democracy. And what they try to do is convince you to alter your worldview. They want you to believe that multicultural democracy is classical liberalism, colorblind classical liberalism. That's the lie. Multicultural democracy isolates and segregates all the different cultures and makes them fight each other, for which they can be the ultimate arbiters and control the reins of power. What we want is a constitutional republic that is colorblind. Mostly. I would say mostly. And I say mostly because I don't know that you can ever be totally absolute. There's certainly some circumstances where we want to recognize race. And I'll give you an example. A guy opens a restaurant and then says only certain people of a certain race. The government needs to say, no, we recognize race played a role. And, you know, an absolute colorblind society would, if we're talking about each individual, you wouldn't have to worry about a store being like, we deny services to this group of people. So I don't know if you could ever be absolute. Like the government, I don't think we'll ever get to that. But the government needs to be able to say, like, hey, man, you're a public accommodation. At least that's my view. There are a lot of people more libertarian that believe businesses should be allowed to be racist if they want. I disagree with that. I really do. That, to me, is what the woke want. Woke people have been trying consistently, this extremist psychotic element of the woke. They have been creating segregated spaces. They want to create black-only spaces, white-only spaces. I reject that. I don't think you should be allowed to do that. I think we should all, it's quite simple. You should be allowed to utilize public accommodation, regardless of where you come from and what you look like. And I think there's equality under the law. And that's the way it should be upheld. But Joe Biden is betting it all. He's betting it all on attacking you, the American voter, and those who support Donald Trump as an extremist element. So understand this. I talk about civil war. It's a meme, you know, people make jokes. What would you call it when the sitting president refers to 74 million people, 46% of the voting bloc, as extremists? He didn't say you were wrong. He didn't say he disagreed with you. He said you're extremists. Yeah. He said you're extremists. Now, of course, the lighter interpretation is that he's only referring to a few people. No, he's telling you to vote for him and support his effort because of the extremist element that's growing in this country. That is people who support Donald Trump. I don't know what to tell you. When the president attacks his own citizens as extremists who must be stopped, we're not looking at a debate over taxes. This is not Joe Biden saying, my opponent wants to lower taxes on the wealthy, but I think that's a wrong move. We must work for this country, blah, blah, blah. I remember when McCain was running against Obama and someone was like, Obama's a Muslim. And John McCain goes, no, he's not. He's a good Christian man. I just happen to disagree with him. Oh, what a long way we've gone. I liked that. I did. I don't like McCain or Obama. But I liked that he was like, no. We're past that. Now we're at the point where Joe Biden makes a TV commercial where he says, you're all extremists and we're going to stop you. Okay. Well, the woke cult of the multicultural democracy, which is trying to supplant this great nation, will not succeed and we will win. And we're going to win very simply. We're going to build our own culture. We're going to build a parallel economy. We're going to seize back the institutions, which we're already doing. We're going to elect our guy through the process for which we built and you tried to destroy. And then we will have the law enforcement arrest criminal elements that have been operating within government. We will fire and terminate corrupt bureaucrats, and we will restore this great nation. Dare I say, we will make America great again. Yeah, I don't know if Donald Trump is the guy, right? I don't think he's a saint. I don't think he's a hero. He's just a guy. But he's the avatar of the rage that Americans have felt as their worldview has been spat upon And as these woke forces have tried to destroy the fabric of this country, they will not succeed. Good try, Biden, but we'll push back. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 6 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
8 state capitals evacuated after bomb threats. It was big news yesterday. Law enforcement in multiple states reported the threat was sent via email to government employees. And today, we have this reporting coming from NBC News. For the second consecutive day, similar bomb threats were seen at numerous government buildings in many states. We recently were at Turning Point USA. I was on stage with Tucker Carlson, Luke Rutkowski, Ian Crossland, Seamus Coghlan, and Charlie Kirk, and then eventually James O'Keefe. We were talking about the federal government targeting innocent people with false charges and false arrest, and Tucker Carlson said, at what point does someone just say no? At what point does someone just say no? It's a scary thought. It really is. Because we don't want false charges. We don't want corrupt government. We want to oppose all of that. But Tucker is correct. At a certain point, someone's going to snap. And what we're seeing here may be the beginning of this. Now, it's kind of crazy to believe it was 2022. We got swatted 15 times that year. The next year, everything seemed to chill out. I think we think we know why. Here at Timcast, we think we know exactly what happened. But federal law enforcement doesn't care. Marjorie Taylor Greene got swatted several times, I believe. Just recently, in the past few days, Laura Loomer was swatted. Jack Posobiec's parents were swatted. I believe Marjorie Taylor Greene's family was also swatted again. And now we're getting these threats. Mississippi and Arkansas. Seems like the work of far leftists. As for these other states, you have Maine, Michigan, Minnesota, Montana, Kentucky, Mississippi, Georgia. No idea. I don't know who's doing it or why they're doing it. Hawaii even as well. I can only tell you that people are starting to lose it. And 2024, boy, has it begun. It starts off with the murder, with an alleged terror attack in Rochester. It starts off with the Epstein documents being released and people being named as child rapists. Starts off with conflict. And I hope it stops. But I think that would be naive. Whenever I talk about the potential for conflict, crisis, civil war, etc., I say maybe I'm wrong about everything. And it'll all just calm down and everyone will say, wow, that was crazy. We got out of hand. I say that because there's a possibility I'm wrong about everything. And I know that a year or two from now, people may look back and be like, nothing happened. Tim was wrong. Absolutely. Absolutely, I could be wrong. And so I say it every time. Look, man, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just looking at this stuff. And I'm like, now we got 2 consecutive days of bomb threats at public buildings that already prompted numerous evacuations. Right. Where's the off ramp? Tell me why you think this calms down. Honest, honest question. Because I don't see it. I really don't. Joe Biden put out a campaign ad. I covered this a couple hours ago on this channel. He called you. He called half of the American voters extremists that must be stopped. It was stark because, you know, normally political campaign ads are like, John Smith is wrong on healthcare and wrong for America. Now, the campaign ad is, these are dangerous extremists who must be stopped. Wow. It's very, very crazy, isn't it? Yesterday, at least 8 state capitals were being evacuated following bomb threats. Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, Montana, Maine, Minnesota, Michigan, Hawaii were all subjected to threats. They were ultimately cleared by law enforcement. The threats are now being investigated by the Department of Homeland Security. The wave of fake threats comes after multiple swatting calls to the homes of several high-profile public figures, including Marjorie Taylor Greene, Brandon Williams, Rick Scott, George Soros. And don't forget, Laura Loomer's in there, too. Jack Posobiec's family as well. And when we were getting news that these swattings were happening, I got to be honest, I think we probably got swatted, considering it had happened so much, but nobody was here. So, you know, I'm not going to say that it did. I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised if someone made a phone call about us. The cops are like, hey, nobody there. Because we keep in contact with law enforcement, security, etc. That's what, you know, look, I'll be honest, too. We were swatted 15 times in 2022. We were probably swatted in 23 as well, but we've got a strong security apparatus at this point. We're really aware of what's going on. And so anytime these things, I don't want to give away too much of our security protocol, but when stuff like this happens, we have a protocol for it, which basically diffuses it instantly. And I also want to stress, swatting doesn't mean a SWAT team kicks your door in with guns ablazing. Everybody seems to think that. No, it means someone made a phone call, making a false accusation, police were dispatched. After a certain point, the cops are like, we get it, we're not going to kick your door in or anything like that. But law enforcement still does show up. They do. We also have a strong security apparatus. Law enforcement swept the Hawaii Capitol with special operations explosive detection canine units for 3 hours and found no evidence. There's 76 elected officials here in the building and all their staff and all their support staff. The research staff, so lots of people, hundreds of people in the building, said State Rep Diamond Garcia. No explosives were found in Mississippi, and the same is true for all the others. The latest news now from NBC. Government buildings across the South received bomb threats on Thursday, the second consecutive day that such warnings prompted serious security measures at government facilities. In Mississippi, multiple bomb threats at various locations across the state prompted officials to take precautionary measures and put in place standard emergency procedures. The agency said that bomb teams had been deployed to locations throughout the state. A spokesperson for the department didn't immediately respond to questions about what buildings received the threats. In Arkansas, the Pulaski County Courthouse in Little Rock was also forced to evacuate after a bomb threat was received. A spokesperson for the Arkansas State Capitol Police said. This is a tweet from MSDPS. Multiple threats have been received across the state. Precautionary measures are being taken. And in Florida, local media reports indicated that similar threats prompted the evacuation of a state courthouse in Daytona Beach. The fresh wave of threats comes one day after at least 8 state capitol complexes, including the ones in Mississippi and Arkansas, were forced to evacuate following bomb threats. Federal officials have warned that public servants at all levels of government have faced a huge surge in threats in recent years. In September, Attorney General Merrick Garland testified that government workers had seen an astounding number of such threats. In addition, several government officials have faced in just the last month an uptick in swattings. When someone makes a false report of a crime, we know this. Marjorie Taylor Greene said she was the victim of a swatting incident at her home in Georgia on Christmas Day, while Senator Rick Scott of Florida said his home was in Naples was swatted a few days later. Maine Secretary of State Shenna Bellows was the target of a swatting call on December 30th after ruling that former President Trump was constitutionally ineligible to appear in the state's primary ballot next year. Civil War. Just, I'm done. I'm done with it. Okay? Maybe it doesn't happen. I hope not. But come on, man. We're already in civil strife. Stephen Marsh wrote the book about it. I bring him up all the time. I got his book right here, The Last Election. Let me pull this book up. Shout out to Andrew Yang and Stephen Marsh. Apparently, there's a character in this book based off of me, although I'm willing to bet they don't do my character justice because they're extremely biased individuals. And but shout out for him willing to come on the show. I think it's funny. It says it's a work of fiction. All names, characters, places, and incidents and the product of the author's imaginations. Any resemblance to real events or persons living or dead is entirely coincidental. They literally told me there's a character in the book based on me. Stephen Marsh wrote the book, The Next Civil War. Stephen Marsh's worldview is predicated upon lies from the corporate press. I mean that with no disrespect. He's just wrong. We disagree on things. That's fine. But he believes things that aren't true. We've had this discussion. However, academically, the United States is in civil strife. This means that every year a certain amount of people are being killed due to political issues happening in this country. We are now into 2024. Do you really think the election will be resolved? What a wild thing to say. I don't see any scenario in which there is a vote that is held and it's respected. We've already got, as they mentioned, Maine removing Trump from the ballot. That is sedition. That is an act of war. Listen. In 1860, the election of Abraham Lincoln, the Democrats did not remove Donald Trump. Ballots weren't issued. Donald Trump didn't remove Abraham Lincoln. See Civil War talk. It's all blending together. It's all bleeding together. The Democrats didn't remove Abraham Lincoln. The Republican Party didn't issue a ballot in these states because they knew they wouldn't win them. But there was also a fear among any of the individuals in these states who were sympathetic to the GOP that if you were seen carrying a Republican ballot, you would be beaten, ostracized, or shunned. That's why. Today, partisan actors unilaterally remove a candidate from the ballot. In Maine, it happened. Unilaterally. Telling the people of Maine, you are not allowed. Now, Trump won an electoral vote from Maine. I think Maine was split. I mean, that's taking. You know, we're not talking about a blue state. We're not talking about California or Colorado. We're talking about a state where Trump actually stands to win, stripping him of the ability to earn those votes. It's an act of civil war. I'm sorry. Michael Malice is going to lose this bet with Roseanne. Now, he can argue all day and night that if you vote, an election happened. But that's just at a certain point, I'm like, no, sorry, man. Now, it's up to him whether he wants to pay out or not. But listen. People will vote, probably. But then what's going to happen is Maine's going to issue their electoral votes. And then Republicans in Congress are going to say, you unilaterally removed Trump. These votes don't count. We're not going to count them. You didn't have an election. The front runner was not on your ballot. People couldn't vote for him. And they're going to argue it's their state and their right to do so. Several red states will then file a lawsuit to the Supreme Court arguing that states do not have a right to determine qualifications for president. Only the Constitution and the federal government has that right. And the Supreme Court will have to determine whether or not Donald Trump is eligible. And the Supreme Court will say he is. Uh-oh. When that happens, these states that removed Trump, they're going to say, well, we don't have, I'm sorry, the election's over. So it'll go to a contingent election. A contingent election means House delegations each cast one ballot. And then whoever gets the most wins. And right now, that's the Republican Party. And that means Donald Trump wins. And the Democrats are going to say Donald Trump lost. Then his cronies in the Supreme Court propped him up. And it's exactly what we said was going to happen in 2020. And they did it. Maybe some states secede. I don't know. But we're looking at this escalation of violence. You tell me where the off-ramp is. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up tonight at 6 p.m. over at youtube.com/TimCastIRL. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.